What's up, guys? Welcome back to Poor Us, presented by SDL Comedy. My name is Scott Leibowitz. As usual, I'm the host of this show. This episode, I had the privilege of sitting down with Marianne Rojas, who you might know better as Marianne Faith on TikTok. She has over 2 million followers. She has over 110 million likes. All of her videos are about the restaurant industry. They're all her acting out different annoying scenarios that we've all encountered in this business. So I had the opportunity to dive into what it's like to be a little bit famous on TikTok, what it's like to be recognized, and what really bothers us about this business. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. I know I had a lot of fun doing this interview. So sit back, relax, and please enjoy Poor Us.
This is not Grey Goose.
I poured Grey Goose in there.
I used to be a bartender.
This music sucks.
I see you. I just gotta help them first.
I asked for a Grey Goose Red Bull.
Surprise me.
Do you know how to make a mojito?
Can you close me up?
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. First of all, hello. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time and being here. And also, sorry for completely having no idea how time zones work.
You're fine. I totally could have checked you and I was like, nah, that checks out.
Yeah. Okay. So here's where my thought came from that. So my older brother moved to Nashville and that's an hour behind.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, it's probably the same thing. Absolutely was not.
Yeah. My older brother lives in Nashville and he was there for several months before we figured out there was a time difference.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, because he's only like 4 hours away. So we figured that it was the same thing. And right. Then when we started trying to coordinate, you know, getting together for holidays or whatever, we just got all the times wrong. And we're like, oh, there's a difference. And
That's hilarious. An
embarrassingly long amount of time before we figured it out.
That's hilarious. Okay, so first and foremost, welcome to Poor Us. In the pandemic, I actually stopped serving and I started selling cars, which I was awful at, and I'm back serving again. It turns out I am probably the worst car salesman in the country.
Okay.
So I'm back serving and bartending, which, I mean, as much as I hate it, I love it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes. The very love hate.
There's just no way, like once you're in it and you're stuck doing it, there's just no way out of it.
Especially if you're good at it.
Yes, especially if you're good at it. And there's so many people who aren't.
Right. Yeah, that's another element of why I hate it sometimes.
Right. So obviously we'll get into that, but I did want to ask you, because I obviously found you on TikTok, and I'm sure most of the people who are going to be listening to this are your fans from TikTok. So I wanted to know, number one, wait, the first time you went viral, right? Like your first viral video, did you kind of know like, oh, this is going to be my thing. This is what I'm going to do now. Or did it just happen and you were like surprised when it kept happening?
No. So when I first even made my account, I knew I wanted it to be restaurant stories.
Right.
So like, if you go back to like November when I made like my very first video, it was just a little introduction. Like, hey, like I've worked in fine dining. I've worked in like Mexican restaurants, like little rinky dink places. I've worked in bars, like I've done private clubs. So here are just my assortment of stories about crazy customers. So kind of the same thing that you're going for this podcast. Like I've been in all these different, you know, variations of the same field. Common theme is people are crazy. Like there's always, you know, horrible coworkers. There's always horrible guests and stupid rules and stuff. So I was just going to do like little point of views and like skits about my experiences. But the very first one that took off, I didn't think it was going to do anything. Like I was like, I'm just throwing them out there. Whoever sees it, sees it. I had like 10 followers. And then I did a little 3-part series about a woman being pretty racist. And I think I just hit like the Karen wave. Cause you know, right. It was really popular to kind of out Karens and call them out on their stupidness and, you know, their small mind
on their bullshit.
Exactly. Their bull. Okay.
On their fucked up stupidity.
Okay. I didn't know what was allowed here. Yeah. So yeah, comment on their shit. And, people just really liked that. And it just kind of took off. And I was like, I guess I have hella stories like this. So I'll just keep telling them.
Yeah. And it's awesome. Like, it really is cool to see someone like you, or there's a few other people I've seen who like do the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just shows, number one, we're not alone, and it's the same shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And all the, I don't know if, are you in any of the Facebook groups about like servers and all that stuff?
Yeah.
it's all hilarious all the time. And that's what gave me the idea for this podcast. Like, I want to connect with people who go through this and know, hey, you're not alone. This is the shit we go through.
Yeah. Like, it's relatable enough, but it's still like an exclusive group of people to experience it.
Right. And even people who have not worked in the industry, they know what the fuck we're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
Cause they've seen it, or, I mean, whatever. Okay.
Your parents are like the horrible people or something.
Yeah. It's, oh God, my parents used to be the worst in restaurants. When I was younger, it was legitimately embarrassing. And then when I started doing this, I was like, you guys need to stop. Like, I was like, if you're going to be rude or complain, like, just don't go out. Yeah. Have you ever been to a restaurant and complained about anything? At least since you started doing this.
No, honestly. I mean, I think the only time I did was like, and it wasn't even a complaint. It was like a my bad, because I ordered a drink and it didn't say strawberries in the description, and I'm a little bit allergic to strawberries. So I was like, hey, sorry. Like, I didn't realize it, but I was trying so hard. Like, no, it's like, that's totally my fault. Like, I'm not mad at you. Like, I'm sorry to send this back. Like, I'll talk to anyone I need to, you know, clear your name. Like, this is my bad. But no, I've never just, like, if it's something cold, I'm like, whatever, I'll just take it leftovers and heat it up later. Like, I don't want to be bothered anybody.
Are you a picky eater at all?
Kind of, actually. Probably more than I'd like to admit.
See, so that's tough. So I'm not a picky eater at all. I eat anything to the point where I've literally been at a restaurant where someone brought me the completely wrong order. And I was like, all right, I guess this is what I'm eating tonight.
Yeah, whatever.
I will say once, and it was recently, I was out with my girlfriend. We went to a restaurant that we go to all the time. And I ordered scallops and she had some kind of chicken, and the food there is always delicious. And the scallops came and they were just so overcooked and rubbery. Mm-hmm. I tried to eat them, and there was so much salt on them. It just wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I tried as hard as I could to eat them. And I was like, I can't do it. I think I need to return food for the first time in my entire life. And my server never showed back up. Like, she was just gone. She was busy, you know, like, we've been there. Okay. Like, she's busy. So I don't know what to do. The manager happened to come over and saw that Megan, my girlfriend, was almost done, and I had pretty much a full plate. And he asked if everything was okay. And it like broke me to say, I'm really sorry. Do you think they could redo these? They're just a little bit overdone. Like, I tried to be so nice and so, like, non-confrontational about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hungry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And, like, you know, being on the other side of it, it's like you're way more willing to help somebody when they're gracious, you know, with needing something remade. Like, if they're like, hey, this is just a little bit too strong, or this isn't what I expected, if they're nice about it, I'm like, yeah, no problem, I'll make it again for you.
Right.
So it's like, you know how to be receptive and like,
right,
what's not going to hurt their feelings. But there definitely is that wave of guilt of like, I'm so sorry to do this to you.
And like, I always know. Okay, so I made a video about this recently. Do you know the term? I don't know if it's a universal term or just like around here, like one timing someone, like when you go to a table and everyone at the table asks for something and then you go get it and the next person does.
Yeah.
So first of all, that's one of the worst things you could do to us.
Absolutely.
I can't stand when people do that shit to me. Which is also why I'm probably like if I came to your restaurant, you were my server, I'd probably be your easiest table of all time, because even if I needed anything, I don't even ask for it. Like, I just am low maintenance. I eat my food and I go.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you actually left your job recently?
Yes.
So what happened there?
So compared to every other place I've worked, you know, it's the typical like $2.13 an hour and you make your tips.
Right.
So a lot of times you make more than minimum wage because, you know, how it all averages out and everything. But at this place, it was a private club. So people had to pay a monthly due to even be there. So tipping wasn't as common because they're like, I already been paying just to get in. Right. Like we assume that our payment for like our monthly dues and stuff takes care of the staff. And to be completely honest, the place did pretty directly mislead the guests. They'd be like, oh, you know, a certain percentage of your dues goes to service and gratuity. And it didn't go to us at all. So there was still an option for them to tip. Like there was still a tip line when I first started working. So people would be like, oh, I'm giving, you know, a little bit extra, but it's like, I thought we're getting. But I started at $12.50 an hour, which was higher than the rest of the staff that was there. So like, I was okay with that. But like, we also had limited hours from COVID. So even the hours that were available wouldn't amount to full time. And it just wasn't enough. I did enjoy working there. Like I really liked my team and I really liked how things worked. And, I had a lot of creative liberty with drinks and stuff. Like, cause we didn't have like a set bartender, like we'd make our own drinks.
Right.
I was allowed to go off menu all the time and just do whatever. And I'll just run it by like, hey, I had these ingredients. How much do you want me to charge for it? And it was fun. I really liked the job, but it just wasn't enough.
Right. Which I totally get. I mean, I've had jobs that I loved and, you know, I love the owners and the management and the staff, but if you're not making the money, you're not making the money, you know?
Right. It's like, I'm not here for fun. Like,
right.
I do need this to live.
So the reason I brought that up was because, I was going to ask when you were working, did you work around a lot of like restaurants where they would close and then, you know, the staff would come see you, but I guess with the country club like that, probably not. Right.
Mm-mm.
Have you,
we're not allowed.
Did you work like at corporate ever? Were you always at like a mom and pop kind of place?
Always like a privately owned. The only corporate place I worked at Subway for like 3 months when I was in high school. But other than that, it was individually owned.
How was working at Subway?
I hated it so much. I was like 17. And so I'm from Dahlonega, Georgia, which is like a mountain town, like kind of backwoods, little hick. And a lot of the people that worked there with me were like, there's no nice way to put this, but they were like a little frumpy, like kind of missing teeth, like just not very presentable, not very smart, very kind people, but you know, just not best for looks or appearance or behavior for customer service. And I was, you know, like a cute 17-year-old, like I was like small and like wore makeup and whatever. So I got like so many creepy people like, oh, like there's actually like a decently attractive person like at Subway. And they would all like, I would wear like a different name tag every day. So no one actually knew what my name was. So like they couldn't find me. And
that's smart.
Yeah. Like, cause you know, it was just like a little label maker. And I would just be like, Katie, like Valerie or whatever. Just like, so it was like this thick with like labels that I kept just like putting on it. But anyway, it also was just way too easy. Like it wasn't challenging at all. It was so monotonous and it was just so boring. So then from there is when I went to work in the Mexican restaurant, where it was like infinitely more chaotic, but fun. It was engaging, you know, it was challenging.
Right. How long have you been doing this?
Like actually serving tables like 5 years, but I've been in the restaurant industry for 7.
Okay, cool.
Because I started off as, you know, like hostess and food runner, bar back and stuff. And then I got up to serving.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard any other episode, and it's totally cool if you haven't, nobody has, but that's where, I feel like that's where everyone starts. I keep forgetting to get back to what I was saying. So this all relates back. So Fridays is obviously open, or at least was, I don't know, until 2 a.m. And where I worked, my town has so many, like there is an Outback, there's a Red Lobster, Applebee's, Chili's. There's so many restaurants around.
Yeah.
And yes. And so they would, and they all closed at like 11 or 10, like whatever it was, not 2 o'clock. So they would all come in. And honestly, that's where I made most of my money from the service industry, which was awesome. Yeah. Because we tip great.
Right.
Across the board, we tip great. But the reason I asked earlier if you think service industry people are better customers, because sometimes they're really fucking not. We can be the most high maintenance and super annoying people. We tip and we don't complain. Or I shouldn't say we. I don't do this, but we tip and they don't complain, but they are annoying.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I've done this. Like, you should. It's like a looking down on like your position, I guess. So like, oh, well, I do this and I can do whatever, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't your job. This isn't your same bar. So like, shut up.
Right. So, and part of it is that part of it is they're out of work. They want to get rowdy. Like they're there to get fucked up. Like, you know, and they just got loud. Like the most obnoxious people, I think. But I mean, it was
a spectrum,
but it was cool. And I will say, you know, I think who I am now directly comes from my time in the service industry, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
you feel more gracious and like multifaceted, like you can multitask like crazy. You can be a people pleaser and just turn on, you know, whatever personality you need to
exactly.
to get someone engaged, and then you can turn it right back off and be like reclusive and like, I don't know.
Right. And also what percentage of your friends or like people you hang out with, do you think are in this industry?
All of them.
Right.
100%.
Cause no lawyers coming out for drinks on a Monday night. Like they have work in the morning, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's like a culture almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I always say, bartenders and servers could either date each other or they could date nurses because we're the only ones with crazy hours like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it. I don't think we could be with anyone else.
Yeah, my husband was customer service for a while and he's in the medical field right now. So
exactly. Exactly. So do you know, and if you don't, I will go first. Do you know like what the craziest thing that's happened to you in this industry has been?
One was when I worked in a Mexican restaurant and I had a table of 11 people and they were all older, like 50s and up. And they were very, very kind. They were so nice. And like, I would come to the table, check on them. And I was like, we're fine. Like, we see that you had that other big party. Like we've been in the service industry. Like you can let us wait. Like we're fine. And so I was like, wow, like these are so gracious people. Like they're so nice. Like probably going to tip me really well. And then, when it came time to close, like they had been paid out. I'd already cleared the whole table minus like their waters. Cause we couldn't give them any more drinks. Like our kitchen was closed. They had basically just their waters or whatever sodas that they had on the table. And then, all the other servers whose sections were empty started closing up their sections. And that like really pissed off this group of people. And it was like a flip switch. Like they went from being like so kind and like joking around and they're like, when do y'all stop closing or when do y'all stop providing service? And we're like, oh, about 5 minutes ago is when we closed. And they're like, well, we'd appreciate it if you would knock this off until we finish our conversation. And we were like, okay. So there was a new assistant manager. It was like her first day by herself. And she was like, yeah, I'm not going to piss these people off. Like, I don't want, you know, my first day on my own, like, you know, trouble starts. So she told us to stop. And I mean, I didn't really care because I couldn't leave until they were gone anyway, since they're at my table. But everyone else was like, we're literally just sitting and waiting for nothing. And then that's also bad because for the manager's perspective, there's a bunch of people on the clock for no reason. But we gave them 30 minutes. And then I asked the managers, like, when do we tell them, like, tough shit, like, you got to get this stuff done. And she was like, well, you can go tell them that we're not kicking them out. But we do need to get these people off of the clock. So we'd appreciate if they bear with us for the couple minutes it takes them just to basically put the chairs on top of the tables. And I told them that. I was like, hey, like, just want to remind you guys, like, we are not kicking you out. We're not telling you how to leave, but it is 30 minutes after close. We do need to get these people home. So
why wouldn't you kick them out 30 minutes after close?
I know, because that's just what my manager told me to say.
That's crazy.
We were hoping that since they seemed like such good people that, and had worked in the service industry, they'd be like, oh, they're not kicking us out, but this means that it is closed, so we should go.
Fuck that.
I know. And they weren't drunk. It's not like they were incoherent and needed to like rest it off or something, because it was 11 people. They had two pitchers of margaritas between them. That's not even like a glass.
So not even a full glass each.
Right. So this dude gets up like so I turn around just to leave. The other people are trying to go to close their sections immediately. Like they kind of like took position like as I was talking to the table. As soon as I turned around, they're like, all right, time to go. So they started moving stuff. And this dude comes running up to me. And when I say like toe-to-toe, I mean like he like broke one of like my big toenails because he like came at me. And I was like, and he was a little bit shorter than me, so I wasn't incredibly intimidated at first. Because I was like, sir. And so they went from being like, oh, like service is fantastic. Thank you so much. Like, you're so good. To be like, this is the, you're the worst fucking waitress I've ever experienced. And I was like, damn. For what? Like,
right.
Like I wasn't intimidated at this point. Cause I was like, that's bullshit. Like, you're just being mean. And then there was only one male server that was working that day. And he kind of intervenes and he's like, Hey, like, don't run up on somebody like that. And he's like, oh, I'll book up on you, boy. Like, this whole thing. And we're like, oh, my God. And then, like, the rest of the table gets up. And I'm like, okay, they're probably coming to come get their crazy guy. But then they all just start yelling at us. And, like, at first, like, softly grabbing us. Like, they're grabbing, like, our upper arms and, like, turning our faces to them. To like. So then my manager comes over and she's like, okay, like she starts yelling. She's like, we were nice to you, but if you're going to treat our staff that way, get out. Like, we shouldn't let you stay, whatever. They all turn their attention to her. They start grabbing her face and her neck and stuff. And they're like, we don't know you. We come here all the time. Well, I had never seen them before. And I worked there for 3 years at this point. I was like, I have no idea who you are. But okay. And they're like, we moved here 10 years ago and this is our home. This is whatever. And we're like, why does that matter? But then I guess once the attention was on the assistant manager, I was like open again. So the initial guy that confronted me, he came back to me and started like shaking me. Like he just grabbed me by my arms and just started like shaking back and forth, like not saying anything, just, and I was like, what the hell? And then this whole like fight just like ensued. We had to call the police. The police got them out of there. Three of them were arrested. The main guy that came at me, he fled. He also had a knife on him that he never pulled out. To be fair, he never actually brandished it, but he had it on his hip the whole time and kept threatening to pull it out. So at the time, we're like, who are we to know if he's going to do it or not? So we were scared. Bunch of girls, young, like college and younger girls,
right.
Bunch of older guys and like one old lady. And we literally just had our hands up, like, we're not trying to do anything. And the one guy server that was there did get, like, the crap, not really crap beat out of him, but, like, he had, like, scratch marks on him and stuff. Like, blood was drawn and, like, all kinds of marks and whatever. So we wrapped that night up, like, well, shit, no one thought that was going to happen. Like, you know, we were just completely thrown for a loop. And then to top it off, the owners said that they were going to fire us if we pressed charges against the people that literally assaulted us. that the group that didn't get arrested, like the people that didn't get arrested, called the owners like in the middle of the night and they're like, hey, all of our friends just got arrested at your restaurant because you're staff, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they immediately take the crazy people side. And when the owners showed up to work the next day, we were like, oh, thank God, we can like tell them our story and like we're gonna get these people to like never come in our restaurant again. Like, this is so wild. And he's like, no, they said that you had an attitude when you were telling them that they had to leave. And I was like, I didn't say they had to leave. Like, I started panicking, trying to, like, defend myself. Of, like, I didn't have an attitude. Blah, blah, blah. And after this back and forth, it kind of dawned on me. And I'm like, well, who the fuck cares if I had an attitude? They hit us.
Right.
Like, that's not worth it.
Right. First of all, this is absolutely insane, this story. What the fuck?
Stupid. And the thing is, like, so everything, because it's such a small town, that was, like, the biggest thing that happened, like, in the last 6 months. So there was a newspaper article about it. And when I was making my videos about it, I was very careful not to say the name of the restaurant or, like, the city I was in or the name of the owners or the name of the people. Like I tried to be very right. anonymous and vague and just, like, the general thing is people fought us and I was going to get fired if I tried to defend myself. But people recognize me. They're like, I know exactly where this is. You've served me before at this restaurant and I know those owners. And I remember that newspaper article coming out. So they started like vouching for me and sharing the newspaper article. And eventually I did. And people started going to that restaurant and blowing up their Facebook, their Yelp, their TripAdvisor, their Google reviews, everything. And they're just like, fuck this place, like not family friendly. Like,
no way.
Yes, they had to shut down all of those platforms. They had to take down their phone number, like from the website, and like disconnect their phone for like weeks so they couldn't take any to-go orders. And I was like, I did not mean for any of this to happen because I still had friends that worked there. So I didn't want them to not, you know, to lose money because, you know, people aren't coming in and like going on strike or whatever. But it did feel really good to kind of make the owner squirm a little bit.
I bet.
And then they tried to defend themselves on their Facebook page. They're like, we have been made aware of the Instagram post. And I was like, it's TikTok, but whatever.
Get it right, idiots.
They're like, we will offer both sides of the story because in the great United States, everyone has the right to the First Amendment and we will be disclosing like full coverage of the story. I'm like, well, you weren't there and you never installed cameras in the building. So literally the only record that they have to go off on proof is the newspaper article with the police report that these people did get arrested. People don't get arrested for no reason.
Yeah.
And, but they were, you know, fussy about, like telling the story or whatever and like making them look bad. And they finished their initial statement with like, we have no say in what people do in our restaurant. And one of my followers from like Arkansas, you know, has like no relation to anything in the story, like only knows that I put on TikTok, commented, you may not have a say in people do once they're in your restaurant, but you absolutely have a say in how you respond in the newspaper article afterwards. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, I wish I had been contacted. And they're like, where did they get the quotes in the newspaper article where you said, there's no hard feelings. They're welcome back anytime. Like, we're all family. Like, so they're like, where did they get these quotes from you if you weren't contacted? And then the Facebook page responded again with like, we'll look into it, researching right now, dot, dot, dot. And then the newspaper responded like, hey, I don't want to get into all this. Like, this is the only thing I'm going to say. But I contacted you the day after the incident and you signed this like agreement that everything you said had potential to be in the newspaper article. And I have a recording of our phone call. So if you have any issues, let me know. But you absolutely said these things. So don't act like the newspaper was like faulty for this. And like the rest of the comments were just like gifts of like, oh, boom, mic drop, and you know, people getting hyped up and stuff. And I did feel bad. I was like, crap, because I didn't mean for that to happen at all. But like I said, it was really nice to make them squirm because that's why I had to leave that job. It's like I didn't feel safe to work there if they were going to make me serve those people again.
Of course. First of all, a few things with this. Number one, 30 minutes after close, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Absolutely get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, there's no reason to keep them there because in the little town we were at legally, we couldn't give them anything else. They were just sitting there keeping us on the clock and running payroll up.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Absolutely get the fuck out. Also, who does this short little idiot think he is running up on you? Like you have anything to do with it, number one.
I know, it's like, I'm 18. I don't make these rules.
Right. Like, on what planet did he look at you and think, she's probably the one in charge of all this?
This is her fault. Yeah.
Right. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
And all the videos online of, like, people... I'm not a political podcast. I don't get into anything. But all the videos of people, like, going into anywhere, and there's a 16-year-old who says, you need a mask in here. And then the guy freaks out on her. What planet do you think you live on where the 16-year-old girl at the front door is in charge of what you can and can't do?
Right. They decided to enforce these rules.
Like, people are so dumb. Like, who are you yelling at? Number one.
Yeah.
So actually that's crazy. So do you think first with 2 million followers on TikTok, which by the way, congratulations. Like that's crazy. do you get recognized going places?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm in Georgia and I have been to a couple different cities on like little vacations because like our family members, like siblings are all in different parts of like the Southeast. And almost any time I've gone somewhere like outside of, because I guess I figured I was like, oh, wherever my like ground zero, this is the location where I'm pumping these videos out. I assume that the algorithm would have people that are like kind of immediately around me. And then when we got further outside of that, I still got like recognized. And like I was at the beach one time and they're like, you're that girl. You're that girl on TikTok. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Because it makes sense when I get recognized in the restaurant industry because that's my target audience.
Right.
So I'm like, yay, I'm glad you can see that. But I went to my husband took me to a reptile convention. And we're just looking at snakes and lizards and shit. And I had two people be like, you're the restaurant girl. No makeup on, like a baseball cap, like not that's, trying to look the part at all. And they still like, probably because I have pretty identifiable tattoos, but they're like, ew.
Right.
That, so it's pretty weird.
Do you feel, I mean, I don't even know, like, do you feel famous? Like, do you feel like, no.
No, it's so weird. Like, I feel like there's nothing that warrants it. Like, it's cool. Like, right. I'm super appreciative when, because like one time I went out to eat and when the server gave me my check, there was like a little note from the staff that was like, thank you for all your videos. Like, we love all the laughs and stuff. And I was like, my heart. Like, but sometimes people will message me on TikTok or Instagram or something and be like, hey, like, I know there's like no way you're going to see this video, but I just wanted to let you know, like, I appreciate everything you did. Da, da, da. And I'll respond to them. And that like blows their minds that I'd respond to them. Because to me, I'm not a famous person. Like I just make videos and
right.
I just have a little bit of an audience, I guess.
Right.
But,
it's always funny when I see all the comments, like, do they respond? Do you see me? Notice me? Like all that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, I'm sure if someone you're a fan of to recognize you and like acknowledge you, of course, that probably feels awesome. And yeah. People are like, wow, I can't believe you saw this. And it's like, why? It's my TikTok. Like, it's a comment on my video. Of course I saw it. Why wouldn't I see it?
Yeah. But yeah, it's really wild how some people think that I'm like, and other TikTokers that, you know, we're some like higher level of
right
existing. And I'm like, I don't know.
We just make videos at home. It's just funny how easily and quickly TikTok picks us up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Trends are amplified and certain people, because I think at one point it was like trendy to follow me. Like it doesn't even matter if people really liked what I was posting. They're just like, oh, I've seen her on my For You page. I'm going to follow her. Like,
right.
She's got an Instagram now. I'm going to catch up with that because people like want to be in on these. You know, like that's right. Kind of how you're saying, like people are super interested in what we're doing and are like, oh my God, I can't believe you spoke to me. And it's like, I'm just chilling, man. Like, it's not like I'm some big influencer lifestyle. Like,
right. Like
oh, follow me. Like, I need, you know, views for my publications and ads and whatever. It's like, I'm really just chilling. Like, I'm just doing stuff.
Like, it's cool though. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine. Like, I can't believe, honestly, when you answered me, I was surprised, not because of the fame level, but because I didn't think you'd see it. Like I can't imagine how many people message you every day about stuff.
And even when we're in active conversation, you still got kind of flooded right. with my other stuff. So that's, sorry about that.
But no, it's fine. It's all good. But you know, there's another guy who I messaged who hasn't seen it and whatever it is, what it is. But I think we just think of people. And you could, I mean, you could, maybe it's just me, but you could tell me if it's also you. We just think of people who are like in the spotlight as like untouchable somehow.
Yeah.
When realistically they're not. Like last October, for example, I did a show. It was a Zoom show and I had Mark Norman, who is an actual like New York City headliner. He tours the country. Like he's a legit, like famous comedian.
Right.
Famous.
Big dude.
Right. He has like specials and he's going to be on Netflix soon. Like so he's big and just, you know, out of the blue, I just decided, you know what, like, what if I message him and maybe he'll see it, maybe he won't. And I'll see if I can get him on my show.
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
Right. So I went on Instagram and I DM'd him. And when I tell you, it was almost an immediate answer. He was like, yeah, I'd love to, you know, let's set up a time. And I was like, that's awesome. Right, that's exactly the like
me. Yeah,
I was like, wow, like that's, you're not busy. Like, what do you? I was like, are you sure? He was like, well, everything's closed. You know, we're all doing Zoom shows, so why not? And I said, all right, cool. And we set up a time. And it ended up being awesome. And that's right around that time is actually probably when, I started doing this podcast and I started getting the idea to just message people. They're either going to answer or they're not.
Right.
And
you won't know until you try.
Right. So, I mean, it's fun and people aren't as untouchable and like far away from you as you think.
Yeah.
Which I guess is good.
Yeah, it's a strange thing though. Because I mean, I thought that, when Vine was popular and stuff and all these YouTubers were big, I was like, these people are kind of stupid. Like they're being just like social media. Like this is lame. And not to say that I'm on their level, but it's like, I have got, 2 million followers. And I'm like, oh, it like became what I was making fun of all the time, but it's like, it's not a big deal. Like it's really not like it's a cool accomplishment for me. But other than just saying like, hey, I got 2 million followers and someone just being like, nice, that's it.
Right. And I mean, it's and like people became household names. Like, do you know who Call Me Chris is, the blonde girl?
Yeah.
Right.
She's got like 30 something million followers.
Yeah. She got some kind of TV deal that she's working with right now from TikTok. I mean, that's what she said. It's like, that's just what she's been talking about. this girl Jax, who, does music. Mm-hmm. She got picked up by a record label. Like, social media is the new way to gain fame and popularity.
Yeah.
Like TV stations are about to be irrelevant. Netflix is almost like,
honestly, they're trying to adapt.
Right. And it's just like, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but I feel like it's easier to get famous now and like easier to get discovered.
Yeah. It's like, on one hand, it's kind of like, well, truly anybody can do it.
Right.
But also it's like, what are these people actually doing to warrant like this publicity and this notoriety?
I mean, almost nothing. Although I will say Chris is very funny and also she's great at accents and characters. So she deserves whatever she gets.
Yeah. Like that truly is acting. Like she's creating these little roles for herself and she's actually like diving into them and making them like real people.
Right. So she's awesome. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I did back to we'll probably end up going back and forth between restaurants, TikTok, whatever it is. And I'll edit it and make it make sense, or it won't, and it'll just be a funny episode and whatever. A couple days ago, actually you work in restaurants. You tell me if you're on my side or not. So a couple days ago I had a table. It was a six top and it was the guy's birthday. It was a guy at the table's birthday. The kitchen messed up his steak twice. First time it was way overcooked. The second time it was way undercooked. By the time it came out the second time, everyone else at his table was already done eating.
Right.
Like straight up finished. And obviously
you have to start over.
Right. And obviously he was mad. Like, of course he was mad. And he was like, this is unacceptable. And what was I going to do? Argue? I was like, yeah, you're right. It shouldn't have happened. I'm obviously going to take it off the check, whatever. Fine. He gets it to go. They finish eating. My manager, actually, he's the owner, but he was the manager on duty. I told him about it, and he was like, we're not taking it off. He was like, he's taking it to go. We're not taking – he's kind of cheap. We're not taking it off. Whatever. It's fine. He's going to eat it. He went over to the table, and he, tried to explain why it wasn't going to get taken off the check. And the guy at the table started fighting with him, like yelling at him. Like,
it
got a little bit heated and I was like, I'm not going back over there. I was like, there's no way I'm going back to this table. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I was like,
I had almost the exact same thing happened to me. I get that. It's like, pass the baton to the manager. This is him to deal with.
like I am not afraid of confrontation. I've never been the one to hide behind my manager. Like I'll handle my tables and it's fine. But when my manager starts fighting with the table, I'm out. I'm like, I'm not going to deal with what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back and forth. He comes back. He goes, just take it off the fucking check. Okay.
You're like, duh.
So now this is where you are going to pick a side.
Okay.
He said, take it off the fucking check. And I said, okay. So I went on and with his manager number, I voided it
mm-hmm.
with him standing there.
Right.
And he said, why the fuck did you just do that? And I said, you told me to. He said, yeah, I do it or you find a manager. You don't have the right to take anything off. And he got pissed and he was like, whose number did you use? And I was like, I used your number. He was like, who the fuck gave you my number? And then, okay, here's what I shouldn't have said, but I did say.
You're like, I'll claim this one.
He's like, who the fuck gave you my number? And I said, you're very slow on the computer. So getting your number was not hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've done that.
And right, and he's like, you can't, just lost his mind. He was like, I should fire you right now for that. And I was like, all right, do it. But you told me to do it.
Like, but.
Like, fire me if you have to, but it's your fucking fault, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's whatever. Hiring right now. What do you got to lose?
Exactly. Like, I have people literally, like, I have friends literally messaging me that they're managing at other places. They're like, hey, if you want to come here. And I'm like, great, I have options.
Right.
So whatever. I mean, it eventually resolved itself. The next day I went to work and he was giving all the managers cards now that are programmed with their numbers on them.
Mm-hmm. So you have to physically have the thing.
But I
haven't ever worked at a place like that, but I hate that idea.
So I have, but I've worked in a few places like that. So I have POS cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I've managed at a place like that. So I know how to program them. So I'm not going to do it. I would never in my life do it. But if he thinks that I don't know how to program a card so I have managerial fucking preferences, he's out.
Yeah. The place I worked at before the private club, it was a fine dining place, and almost the exact same thing happened with the steaks and stuff. But I kept picking up the manager numbers. Like, they changed it and I'd be like, it's not hard to figure out like what it is. And so they finally just gave me my own thing and be like, fine, you can have your code to do it, but we're gonna know it's you, so if it messes up, like, you're gonna get the trouble for it. And I was like, okay, like, that's done. Fair, like, I don't care. Not once did I get in trouble for using it wrong.
Right.
Because I kept my number from the rest of the staff, because I was like, I talked to them, I was like, y'all gotta bear with me. Like, please don't use it on your own, because I'm really trying to prove something to them, like, that we know, like, what we're doing. And if you use my number and mess up, this whole thing, like, goes out the window. So please, 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 please don't try to get my number and use it. And we all worked together, and I was, you know, because, you know, it's so frustrating when you need to find a manager, like, yeah, I'm so sorry, like, I'm trying to get your check to you, but I can't take this off yet because I need to find a manager and I don't know where they're at, or they don't agree with the whatever. Like, so I was like, we need to have somebody on the floor that's available to do that shit, because it's so frustrating when they're waiting there for another, you know, 10-15 minutes because you're trying to take their birthday dessert off, and it's like,
right.
So it worked, but it was a wrestling thing, like, with it. I had my own number just as like this random waitress, and I could, like, do it.
Obviously I understand if the staff knows a number to start voiding shit, obviously you could steal easily. You could,
yeah, or like
after someone pays, you could void some shit off, and then you have a bigger tip.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I got fired for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, and people do it, and those people are assholes, and of course that's why managers are so, like, uptight about it. It mm-hmm. all makes sense, but honestly, if your staff isn't a bunch of fucking scumbags, and we are just literally there trying to make the place run, I don't know what the problem is. I really don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just let us fucking do it. It'll
be an element of trust. Like, it's, and we know the rules. Like, I don't know.
We know the rules, and honestly, we're probably better at it than you guys are. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah. And also you've experienced this table from beginning to end. So, like, we know exactly, like, what they're expecting and how to meet their needs. And then the manager's like, what are you talking about? And you have to, like, catch them all up, and it's like, I can just do it.
Right.
And we saved all this time trying to explain it to you, and you trying to combat them and talk to them, whatever. Like, let's just trust me and I can do it. Like, I had with your steak situation, I had, it was a double date. Both of the men got Wagyu steaks, you know, which are supposed to be, you know, marbled to perfection and so tender, and like, and they were really tough. And I was like, oh shit. Like at the table, it's like, normally you can just cut it with like a regular like dinner knife. Like you don't need a steak knife. Like, and they're like, no, it's fine. Like maybe you just, you know, got a bad cut or something. Like it happens. Like not every piece is perfect. So then I took it back to the kitchen and the chef was a lunatic. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was holding a fork for him. I was like, it's hard. Like, do it. Like, it's like, they're right. Like it's, they're super, super nice. Like they're right. This is way too tough. And he's like, fine, whatever. So he throws two on there and they're medium rare. So it didn't take much time at all. I only took the meat off of the plate from them. So she's like, could still have their sides to eat. So they didn't have like nothing, right. But I bought them full sets. So they got, I guess, double sides, whatever. So I brought them full sets and it was the same thing. And they're like, what is wrong with this chef? Like why can't he like check it before he goes? And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, we're not mad at you. We understand that you are just bringing it. And I was like, thank you. They're like, but we do want to talk to a manager about getting us off of our bill and stuff. And I was like, absolutely. I understand, because it was really hard or really tough. But the manager started fighting with them. And they're like, Wagyu means tender. And he's like, no, Wagyu is a type of cow. Doesn't matter. They're anticipating really tender steaks. And you couldn't even stab your fork into it twice.
Right.
So I was, you know, kind of same situation. Like, I have no problem taking it off. They didn't get to enjoy it. Like, it's whatever. And I boxed it up for them. I was like, just in case, like, because we're just going to throw it away. You can have it. Like, we made this for you. You just take it with you. And but then they started getting kind of ugly and they're like, I wouldn't even give this to my dog. And I was like, okay. And they left it on the table. So I took two Wagyu steak homes. Wonderful dinner. It was a little tough, but flavor was fantastic. It was cooked perfectly. So I don't know. But yeah, the manager was, you know, he's Googling on his phone. He's like, Wagyu, he's a cow, not a definition. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm not going back to that day anymore. But they tipped me like $80.
I will say, when I appreciate people when they get to a certain level of angry, mm-hmm. and you try to stand there and be like, I'm sorry, like I'll fix it. And they understand that it's genuinely not your fault.
Yeah, they have directed their anger in the right place.
I do appreciate that, because the worst thing is when something gets messed up, they blame me. Which, fine, you want to blame somebody. I'm standing here.
Yeah.
But then your tip gets affected, and you're like, I should punch the kitchen staff in the fucking mouth for this one.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is your fault. Why? How about you guys lose 20% of my check in your paycheck this time instead of me losing it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and right at the time that this was happening, they were trying to implement tipping out the kitchen staff a lot. Like because we tipped out like our back weights and stuff, and that was 4% of our sales, and they were going to make it 8%.
Oh God.
So like, so if I average, you know, 20%, which is good, I'm only going to get 12 of it. Like what the hell? So when the kitchen kept messing up, like I literally started like keeping record of tickets that were, you know, voided. Cause you know, you need to like put the reason, it'll be like kitchen error, kitchen error, kitchen error, kitchen error. And I'm like, this ticket. Like,
right.
You want me to tip you out? No, I'm losing my tips because of that. And not to say that, like, I don't appreciate kitchen staff. Kitchen obviously is one part of, you know, the team that makes the whole guest experience worth it, so that they will tip us. I get it.
I'm fully against tipping out the kitchen. Fully against it.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I appreciate them. They should get paid what they're worth, but I don't need to tip them out.
Right. So I'm a bartender, right? I mean, right now I'm serving, but seven out of nine total years of this industry, I've been a bartender. That being said, I am against, and I always have been against tipping out the bar.
Really?
I get it. We're making your service bar drinks. But also, we have our own fucking guests. We have our own tables. Like, why are we getting part of your money? And now, why are you getting part of my money?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of our check comes from our drinks. Like I said, I understand why we do it. And as a bartender, I don't even want it. Plus, it's not even that much money, so it's stupid. Like
yeah.
Like, we're tipping, like, a bartender on tip out will get, what, 12, 15 bucks, like, at the end of the night? Well, I don't know how much it is, really, but it's not that much. Like, it's just, it's stupid. My last job I worked, I worked for a sushi restaurant, and we tipped out the bussers 4% of our food sales, and we tipped out the bar 8% of our liquor sales. So on a busy Friday night, honestly, Thursday to Saturday.
Everyone's drinking, yeah.
I was tipping out. If I made 300, I remember actually my sales from working a double were legit $3,000 one day. I tipped out over 250.
Damn. That is absolutely ridiculous.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I ended up tipping out almost as much as I made.
That is ridiculous.
Plus our credit card tips came in our paycheck. So then they were getting taxed on top of that. So I was like, fuck this. I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I would leave too. That is ridiculous. 8% is too much.
And it's like for what?
Like, I get, because I mean, there definitely have been times where as a server, you know, I have big parties and I know the bartenders were making like crazy drinks for me, and I'll come to them at the end of the night and like hand them like a 20 or something and be like, thank you so much. Like, you, like, I appreciate the work that you did. Cause there is also kind of like that dynamic of like, I don't want servers or bartenders to like get a ticket and be like, ah, Marianne's bringing checks in. Like I'll do that later. Like, oh, she's a bitch or whatever and doesn't want to do it. So I try to really have like a good relationship with them. So they're like, oh, cool. Yeah. This is like, if I have a complicated drink, it's like, oh, well, she's nice about it. It's not like, cause I also have been on the bartender side of it. And I've had people I hate to send in tickets and they're really complicated or a lot. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I've got all my other stuff going on. I'm going to send out like 2 drinks at a time. You're not going to get all 12 of these right now.
Right.
So, but if it's someone that's super nice, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, hang on guys, I'm just going to steal this ticket. I'll be right with you. Like, I'm like, here you are. Here's everything. So that I try to keep a good relationship with everybody.
I mean, I will say, I mean, the TGI Fridays probably has the craziest service bar because that's all drinks that don't exist anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like all the fake made up Fridays drinks. But in all my time of being a bartender, and if there's any, not that many people listen to this, but if there's any bartenders listening to right now, I guarantee I pissed them off when I said I don't want to tip them out. So guys, listen, I'm sorry, bear with me. You do a great job and I appreciate your work, but tipping you out sucks. Plus, when I fucking love service bar, by the way. Anytime I have the option, like if I'm like on a weekend, if we have one assigned bartender for service bar and then everyone else works the like the main, you know, bar area, I'm like, I'll take service bar. I'm like, listen, we're all pooling the tips, right? So you guys do that. You hate working service bar. I'll fucking stand there and crush it all night. I really like, I'll, the ticket machine goes flying. Like it gets busy. Like I work in a busy place. I'll fucking stand there and crush it all night. It's fun. I don't deal with anybody and I just crush drinks all night. And yeah. Do we get tipped out? Sure. Would I be mad if I didn't? No, it's fun.
Yeah.
Depending on what manager is on, sometimes we're allowed to, I put headphones in. I just stand there and listen to music and make drinks.
Like, you don't have to deal with the guests. Like you're just making, that makes sense. I feel like that would be fun actually.
It is. It's awesome. I just stand there, vibe out and make all the drinks all night. What do you think your biggest pet peeve in this industry is?
Tell me not my biggest, but the first thing that came to mind is a very small thing, but it's when you say to a guest, like, I'll be right back with blank. And they're like, can I get blank? And I'm like, I literally just, I guess it's like having to repeat myself. Like when I worked at the dining place, we had this whole like 2 or 3 minute long spiel about, cause it was like a destination restaurant. Like it wasn't like, oh, we just come here on Tuesdays. Like it's very specifically for like engagements or, you know, celebrating, promotions. Like, so a lot of times people had been there for the first time. So we had to carry them through this whole thing of like, this is where we get all of our food. Everything's locally sourced. Blah, blah, blah. But you also go into, we like a lot of the menu change daily. So like soups and dressings and, you know, toppings on this and what kind of bread and whatever. So I'd be like, today our whatever is this. And I would try to be very, very clear. And I would like point to things just for like the visual aid of like, so today this on the menu is that. Like I was like teaching children. And they're like, what's the soup? I'm like, like, I didn't say it. Not like, can you say it again? Like, oh, sorry, that was a lot. That's fine. Yeah, I did say a lot. But they're like, so daily soup is what?
Right.
Butternut fucking squash. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd be so mad.
I hate that shit. I also, like with all of our burgers and it, or anything that comes with fries or whatever, like sandwiches, whatever, it comes with like a little side of like a little thing of ketchup on the side.
Yes.
I put on the plate, or I put the plate on the table, and they say, could I get ketchup with that? And I say, you need more ketchup than this? And they go, oh, we didn't even see that. What are you, fucking stupid?
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you, why wouldn't you see that? Like,
I also, I also kind of like your thing, I made, actually one of my more recent TikTok videos, about like a table of three guys and they all get salads. And the first guy asks what dressing I have. And I go through our entire list. The second guy asks for the list again.
Yeah.
And then the third guy asks for a dressing that's completely not on the fucking list.
It's just like, why don't you listen to me? Like,
right. I can't stand it. And also the other biggest thing, I think my genuine biggest thing that I can't stand about this industry, going up to a table and they're in the middle of a conversation and you introduce yourself, you ask if you could do anything for them. They don't even look up. They just continue their conversation. It's like, can you please acknowledge that I exist and I'm a person? Please. Yeah.
I have said, like, when I worked at the Mexican restaurant, I could get away with being, like, sassier to guests and stuff. And that would happen. And I'll be like, are we wanting to eat dinner today? Like, finally get there, like, after the, you know, the formal and polite greeting a couple times, even leave and give them a couple minutes and come back. They still don't do anything. And I would, like, really, like, in their face interject, like, we're getting anything. Like, yeah, we want dinner. I'm like, you know, you have to talk to me to get that. And right. They just kind of look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, I'm trying to get you on that process, you know, try to get some food going for you, maybe some drinks, whatever, but I need to know about it. So you need to look at me and tell me. So that's why I will leave as soon as you tell me you can finish your conversation. But like, please.
Right.
Just take the 10 seconds to tell me what you need.
It's that. And then it's also, hey guys, how are you? I'm Scott. Margarita.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Margarita.
I would tell them, like, oh, I haven't asked yet. And I would just keep going and make my little spiel, like, way over the top long. Like, so now, like, just to be a bitch.
just acknowledge that we're people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's kind of like when you're a little kid and, like, you go to school and, like, you realize that, like, your teacher is, like, a person. Like, they don't just, like, sleep at the school. Like, they don't just, like, exist as only, like, your classroom teacher. Like, it's like that. They're like, oh, this is just their life. They just plug into a wall when they're closed and then they come in the morning. Like, it's like, no, I'm just like you. Like, I also have other priorities and I also have, you know, people that care about me and people that I care about and feelings.
Right.
Only world for them. Everyone should work customer service at some point.
Yes. Fully agree with that.
Either retail or restaurant.
Well, which I've done both.
I could never work retail.
You've never done it?
Mm-mm.
I worked retail once. I worked for Hollister. I was in high school. Okay. I don't look like it now, but in high school, I do look like I should have been working in Hollister. I was such a preppy dweeb in high school.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't look like that anymore.
I feel like, I mean, definitely there's the differences, but as far as just dealing with shitty customers, I couldn't do that for a flat rate. The thing that redeems it is being able to, you know, make potentially more than minimum wage with, you know, finessing tips. If I'm just doing that for $8 an hour, I think I'd actually rather die.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was fun. I really appreciate you taking the time. Tell me, before I let you go, tell all the listeners where they could find you.
Okay. My TikTok is MarianneFaith_12. There's no significance to that name. I didn't think I was going to get famous. And then my Instagram, where I also post some like personal stuff, along with like my regular TikTok, is Marianne Faith Rojas, R-O-J-A-S. And that's where you'll be able to find me in my daily life stuff.
Awesome. What, so I, you brought that up earlier, actually. I forgot I wanted to ask you. Your Instagram, did you just make it like recently? You didn't have TikTok before? I mean, Instagram before?
I mean, I still have like my personal one with like my family on it.
Oh, a different one. Right.
But I made one specifically for people that are, you know, wanting to see me outside of just like Happy Mother's Day, you know, so right. the regular, like every 3 month Instagram post. So
right.
I made one specifically for my people.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, thanks again. And I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.